From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Yesterday, a bipartisan group of state attorneys general stood outside the Supreme Court. The state AGs disagree on a lot of major issues, immigration, healthcare, gun control, just to name a few. But they came together to unite against what is, in their words, a juggernaut. Google. It's become so powerful, the attorneys general said, that it's stunting the growth of other companies, creating higher prices for consumers. And the announcement came just days after another bipartisan group of AGs announced an investigation into Facebook. So the common theme here, states are saying it's time to investigate and perhaps even regulate Silicon Valley. So this hour on Point, when states take on big tech. And you can join us. What do you think? Are Google and Facebook too big and too powerful? Do they need to be regulated or even broken up? Are you glad to see states step in, or do you want the government to stay out of how business is done in tech? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter. And yes, Facebook at On Point Radio. And before we get started today, some disclosures, because Google and Facebook are both recent financial sponsors of NPR, and my sibling is a project manager at Facebook as well. But joining us first today from Denver is Phil Weiser, Attorney General for the state of Colorado. He served in the Obama administration as a Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the U.S. Department of Justice and in the Antitrust Division of President Bill Clinton's Department of Justice. He's involved in both investigations into Facebook and Google. Attorney General Weiser, welcome to On Point.
It's great to be here, Meghna.
So first of all, give us the underlying reason why you and your fellow state AGs decided that it was time to investigate Google specifically first.
The reality of our economy right now is we are seeing more concentration in most sectors than ever before. In technology, that's especially true. Whether you look at search or in the advertising space, obviously Google plays an incredibly significant role. And the concern we have, is their market power stifling innovation? Is it hurting advertisers who might be paying more, or publishers who might have less choices of how to get monetize their product? And this is something that is a real concern, because when you have a company with market power who's able to act in ways that has the potential to harm competition, antitrust is our nation's first and foremost policy. And I'm someone who's obviously grown up in this world, worked at the federal government under two administrations, now as Colorado's Attorney General. It's my job to protect our consumers and our innovators and to take a look when we have concerns.
Hmm. Well, let's hear a little bit of tape from some of your fellow attorneys general who gathered together to make this announcement. Here's Leslie Rutledge, AG for the state of Arkansas, a Republican, outlining some of the motivations for the investigation into Google.
As a new mom, when my daughter is sick and I search online for advice or doctors, I want the best advice from the best doctors, not the doctor and not the clinic who can spend the most on advertising. Most Americans think it's free to Google something, but it comes at a cost at the freedom to choose the best products from the best companies.
That's Attorney General Leslie Rutledge of Arkansas. I'm speaking today with Phil Weiser. He's the AG for the state of Colorado. So, Attorney General Weiser, regarding Google and internet advertising, I mean, the numbers are pretty large in and of itself, right? More than 30%, possibly close to 40% of internet advertising is done through Google. Is that right?
So it really depends on how you look at the numbers. The question, obviously, is Facebook in that same space, or is it sort of its own world? We're going to have to evaluate exactly how to think about Google's significance in the advertising world. There are a lot of times where if people are using ads, certain types of ads, there's really no choice but to work with Google, and that's something that begs the question, why aren't there rival options, whether it's in search or in advertising, that can be a significant alternative when consumers don't have alternatives? And obviously we all live with this in our own lives. If you're flying somewhere and there's only one airline who has flights, you're going to pay more. One of the virtues of antitrust is its commitment to facilitating competition and addressing any barriers to entry. And that's, again, underlying motivations. And I think General Rutledge said it well. If consumers don't have choices, if advertisers don't have choices, we're worse off.
And so tell us then about the Facebook investigation as well. Is it along the same lines sort of regarding advertising or Facebook sort of sucking up of the world's data? What is it?
The basic starting point is Facebook obviously has a very dominant position in social networking. And the question is that position that it's able to exercise one that is harmful to consumers? It's worth underscoring that having a strong position in a market, even a dominant position, is not itself illegal under the antitrust laws. The question is, have they done something that, to use the antitrust word, is predatory or excludes competition in a way that's not about normal business practices, but is really about undermining competitors? And so what we have to ask in both cases, really, but you asked about the Facebook case, has Facebook done things that were done not for the purpose of making their product better, helping consumers, but done really to exclude rivals?
There have been previous investigations, even some through the FTC, I believe, in the federal government, and definitely globally into business practices of Google in particular, and Facebook as well. What do these state attorneys general believe that you could uncover that hasn't been previously uncovered when government has taken a look at the practices of these companies?
On the international front, it's worth underscoring there actually has a different standard and structure. So the European Union operates differently. They have acted really in a few instances with respect to Google. So that's something that is related to what we're doing, but they have a separate standard. With regard to the FTC, their search was, they did something, it was a while ago, and they ended up not doing anything, although Google made some voluntary commitments. It's worth noting the Department of Justice is now investigating Google. And we absolutely are committed to cooperating with the Department of Justice and, if appropriate, international authorities as well.
Yeah. So what do you think states are better positioned to do, if anything, than the federal government here?
Well, this is a question of our time right now. And one of the parts that got me to be attorney general is states are taking the lead on a range of issues, including privacy issues, including competition issues, including how we protect our land, air, and water. The federal government, candidly, is not in a great place in its ability to exercise authority. And so we as states are not going to leave it to the federal government to say, oh, we assume they can do this in an effective way. We've got 49 states working together on this Google investigation, and the collaboration you noted at the outset of your show, it's real. These state AGs are in this together to solve problems, to address a concern in a thorough, diligent, and fair way. And if the federal government is able to operate in that same spirit with us, that's great. But we're not going to wait for their leadership. We're going to be moving ahead.
Well, that's Attorney General Phil Weiser. He's the Attorney General for the state of Colorado, joining us today from Denver. Mr. Weiser, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, Magna. Look forward to the next time.
Well, let's listen to a little bit more of what other states' attorneys general said yesterday in their announcement of these investigations. I should underscore, these are investigations that the states are launching, not yet a lawsuit. Here's Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas. He's leading the bipartisan inquiry into Google, and he spoke outside the Supreme Court yesterday.
What we've all learned is that while many consumers believe that the internet is free, certainly, we know from Google's profits of $117 billion that the internet is not free. And this is a company that dominates all aspects of advertising on the internet and searching on the internet. As they dominate the buyer side, the seller side, the auction side, and even the video side with YouTube.
That's Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton speaking in Washington yesterday. Well, joining us now from Augusta, Maine is James Tierney. He was Attorney General for the state of Maine from 1980 until 1990. He's founding director of stateag.org, an educational resource on the office of state attorney general. He's also a lecturer at Harvard Law School. James Tierney, welcome to On Point.
Great to be here.
So what do you think is the significance of these states, almost every state in the country, except for California and Alabama, banding together to investigate two of the biggest tech companies in the world?
Well, states have been doing antitrust work for a long time, 100 years. And it's because we have in our culture and in our laws this belief that we're very nervous about the concentration of power. So we're worried about, in this case, concentration of economic power. But we're also worried about the concentration of governmental power. We don't want to leave all of this to the federal government, so we give equal authority to the states. And so they've been hearing a lot of complaints, and they want to find out more about it. This is an investigation. It's not a lawsuit.
And so and states have done this before with other cases. I mean, in the very top of the show, I mentioned big tobacco. We also saw state action on mortgages. We've seen it on opioids as well. So they're able to pursue issues in federal court when they band together, right?
Sure. Actually, there's a federal statute since 1976, which gives attorneys general the express authority to go in together into federal court. When they believe an antitrust violation has occurred, and this has happened over the years. States work hard to get along with the federal government, and I see no indication yet that the Federal Trade Commission, the Department of Justice, are not cooperating with the states. I mean, everybody's making nice right now, which is good news for, I think, everyone, including the defendants or the potential defendants. But it's there was a huge Microsoft investigation that the states did 20, 25 years ago. So it's not unusual, really. What's a little unusual is they made a lot of noise. Right now, they made a lot of noise on the Google investigation more than they did on the Facebook investigation. But listeners should be assured that both of these cases are being treated equally and very seriously. It takes a lot of resources. It's going to take a while. But I think both Google and Facebook are going to cooperate. They really have no choice with the states in their investigation.
I mean, in a sense, we have to take a break in just a couple of seconds. But in a sense, sure. Google and especially Facebook they must have seen this coming. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg himself has said in the very recent past that he believes that his industry ought to be regulated.
Well, look, this has gone on for years. I mean, the AGs have gotten complaints for years. They didn't like start yesterday, right? There are a lot of people who consider themselves victims who've been pitching this case and these issues. They're going around from state capital to state capital. And the AG said, okay, we've got enough here to go out and do some investigation, get some four more formal documents. That's what they're doing.
Well, we will be back in just a moment. We are talking about state attorneys general banding together to investigate Google and Facebook for possible antitrust violations. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/on point. That's Indeed.com/on point. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com. Code POD.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about this week's announcement that attorneys general, I should say, from 48 U.S. states and several territories have banded together to investigate Google and Facebook for potential antitrust violations. So do you think that Google and Facebook are too big, too dominant in the world of internet advertising, in the world of data in general? Do they need to be regulated, perhaps even broken up? And here's a little more from yesterday's press conference where the state's attorneys general banded together. Sean Reyes is a Republican AG from Utah, and he clarified their stance when it comes to big tech.
This is not anti-tech. To the opposite, This is actually for the benefit of the tech ecosystem, to help level the playing field. And the last thing I'll say is, someone who spent my entire career representing tech companies, investing and running tech companies, I strongly, absolutely believe that tech and innovation has the ability to raise the quality of life, lessen human suffering, even save lives. But the question for us today is whether Google has strayed from its founding principles to not do evil in its search and relentless drive to be the market dominant player.
Sean Reyes, the Republican Attorney General from Utah, just yesterday. I'm joined today by James Tierney. He's with us from Augusta, Maine. He's the former AG for the state of Maine and founding director of stateag.org. And James Tierney, just before the break, you mentioned Microsoft as a previous example. How sure. can you remind us about that those antitrust efforts by attorneys general on Microsoft, and if you think it is relevant or applicable to this week's announcement?
Well, the law has changed. The tech has changed. What's relevant is it shows that states are able to actually marshal a lot of resources and actually engage in a full-bore trial, which occurred in the Microsoft case. So it shows the states are serious players, and also they made the fact internationally. The EU was watching the state cases in the Microsoft case very carefully, and evidence that was generated in one went to the other. I don't think the law is particularly relevant. I want to make one point. You know, just the pending of this investigation is going to make an impact. You know, during the Obama years, YouTube got gobbled up by Google, and Instagram got grabbed by Facebook. Neither of these companies are going to be buying anything, right, during this investigation. So acquisitions are kind of on hold just pending the investigation. So I think just the pendency of this can make a difference in the marketplace and give innovators and people who are looking to find new ways to compete, you know, a little courage, because the giants are on hold, at least until we find out what's going to happen in the case.
Mm. Now, let me ask you, I mean, some might say that this is a moment, one of those inflection moments where lawmakers are catching up with the fact that we may not have the regulatory framework or the legal framework to cope with the reality of these, new world of ours regarding how business is done. I mean, is that what we're seeing here? One of those moments to try to catch up?
There's a lag. Government is a lag, and there should be a lag. I mean, you want to let the private sector get out and do its thing. But, you know, we saw it with Thomas Edison. We saw it with Alexander Graham Bell. I mean, monopolies grew out of that process. IBM was, you know, a huge dominant force, and government had to push back either by litigation or by legislation in order to do the things we want here. We want to have innovation. We want to have creativity. We want to make sure there's competition. We want to make sure the prices are lower. And we believe in that. We don't like to have a heavy hand of regulation. And we're using the word regulation. I kind of don't like that in the antitrust context. It sounds like there's going to be some board of tech regulation. We're trying to let the marketplace work. That's what antitrust is all about. That's what and AGs work hard on this. You know, sometimes the AGs who lead on these things aren't the loudest. You know, the Attorney General of Nebraska, Doug Peterson's been a huge leader on this very quietly and steadfastly. And Attorney General Weiser, who you had on, is a real antitrust expert, and he's really leading from Colorado. And we have a tendency in these cases to look to the two coasts, you know, California and New York. But when you're dealing with state attorneys general, there are a lot of real talented, creative people at the AG level, but also at the staff level, will be doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Well, so one more question, Mr. Tierney, about
sure.
Let's focus on Facebook here for a second. I mean, when Facebook in and of itself has more than 2 billion users across planet Earth,
it's amazing.
I mean, 2.5, and even more than that. I don't even know right now, but huge, massive numbers of human beings on the planet. And yes, there are other tech companies in the social media space, sure, but they are diminishingly small. I mean, it, by definition, isn't Facebook the market there? How can they not be in violation of antitrust laws?
That's right. Well, look, first of all, monopolies and bigness is not inherently illegal here, okay? The question is whether it's used in a predatory and abusive manner. Look, I organized my high school reunion on Facebook, right? It works. I'm happy with that. And so we don't want to stop that. That's not what this is about. The question is Facebook, using our data illegally and sharing it with people and making without disclosures? Are they making the technologies difficult so that we can't protect ourselves? Are they abusing it? Are they destroying other competitors? But There are natural monopolies. There aren't many, there are some, and they're not inherently illegal. It's the question of what they do with the power that they get.
I have to ask. I mean, don't we already know what Facebook did regarding, say, Cambridge Analytica, giving us to believe that they are not entirely forthcoming with their practices on user data?
Well, I would think that they've got an issue. They may have a bigger issue than Google. I mean, because they've had a bad track record. They've made representations that turn out to not be true. And of course, you say, oh, well, we blame this person, we blame that person. But it looks pretty inherent in the business to me. I mean, I'm pretty interested in the Facebook investigation, which was launched very quietly. They didn't have a brass band on the steps of the Supreme Court building the way the AGs did yesterday. So they're both equally serious here. Facebook has a bad record. They're coming in with a few black eyes. And when that happens, look, it's just look in our own lives. If someone's, lied to you once or messed up once, even though you look at them a little more carefully the second time or third time.
Well, and just
good point.
And just to be clear to folks, we did reach out to Facebook directly to see if they could join us or send us a statement, and they declined on both fronts. Mr. Tierney, stand by for just a second. I want to just get one quick call in here and see if you can answer her question. Jennifer is calling from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi. My understanding is that the Department of Justice, it's their job to enforce the antitrust laws to preclude monopolization. And I think anybody who lives in non-urban areas of the United States can tell you that small towns are kind of going out of business because they're being overrun by larger corporations. And I guess my question is, why are we having attorney generals who are government employees suing other government employees, the Department of Justice, to have them do their job? So I wonder, how do people in the Department of Justice get their job, and why haven't they been doing it for about 25 years to stop all these monopolies?
Well,
and I'll take my answer off the air.
Jennifer, thank you for your call. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer. That's a great question. First of all, the states are not suing the Department of Justice. They're working together with the Department of Justice in this. And federal law in the late 70s decided, they said, look, we don't want to have only the federal government the ability to do antitrust enforcement. We want the states to be able to go into federal court and to be able to bring these cases. So in the vast number of cases, it's cooperative. The federal government cooperates with the states in doing this. Now, sometimes, federal government has one philosophy and the states have another one. That happened in the Microsoft case where the Bush administration wanted to settle the case and, 16 states wanted to continue the litigation. So that happened. We like to have more than one cop on the beat, okay? Up there in Wisconsin, you probably have deputy sheriffs, county sheriffs. You probably have local cops. You've got state troopers. They like to have different kinds of law enforcement agencies, and that's true in antitrust as well. It's a great question.
Well, James Tierney is the former attorney general for the state of Maine. He served in that position from 1980 to 1990. He's founding director of stateag.org, an educational resource on the Office of State Attorney General, and a lecturer at Harvard Law School. He spoke with us today from Augusta, Maine. James Tierney, thank you so much for being with us.
Great. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right. Well, let's bring a couple more voices into the conversation now. Joining us from New York is Tim Wu. He's a professor of law, science, and technology at Columbia Law School and author of The Curse of Bigness, Antitrust in the New Gilded Age. Tim Wu, welcome to you.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
And also with us from New York as well is Stephen Hauck, special counsel at Offit Kerman Associates at Law, chief of the Antitrust Bureau for the New York State Attorney General's Office between 1995 and 1999. And he was lead trial counsel for 20 state plaintiffs in the government lawsuit against Microsoft. Stephen Hauck, welcome to you.
Hi, Magna.
And we should note that you are on retainer with Google for general advice on antitrust issues to Google.
Correct. That's a very recent assignment.
Okay. We'll talk about that more in just a second. But let me actually just start with you, Mr. Hauck. Do you think that the state AGs are that they're right to be investigating Google and Facebook for potential antitrust violations?
Well, I certainly think they have the right to do that. As Jim Tierney said, the AGs for a long time have had the right to go into federal court and sue under the antitrust laws. The real question, however, is whether it makes sense to do that, given the fact that the federal government is investigating. When I was chief of the Antitrust Bureau in New York State, I looked at a potential case and tried to decide, is it a good case? Are there others who are doing something here? And in this case, there is. The federal government is investigating. Indeed, there are private parties. General Weiser noted that one of the victims here to some degree are advertisers and publishers, which is highly unusual because AGs usually are out to protect consumers, and folks like these are represented by lawyers and they can bring lawsuits themselves. So they certainly have a right. The question is whether they should be doing this, especially since they have limited resources compared to the federal government. And when they take on a big case like this, it means they can't do other important things in their states, like challenge hospital mergers or local price-fixing conspiracies.
Well, Tim Wu, do you want to respond to that? I mean, first of all, are the victims advertisers and publishers or also consumers and users?
Yeah, I think there's a broad array of people who are at least claim to be victims. Now, I think this is an appropriate case for the state AGs to be involved in. And one of the reasons is that the federal government, particularly under this administration, has been a little idiosyncratic in how it does things. Justice Department has a very sort of unpredictable track record, and the Federal Trade Commission sometimes hasn't really been willing to go for the hard remedies, especially with Facebook and its privacy case. And so I think the states are really a backstop here. These are important cases, and I think people really don't trust the federal government at this point to do it.
And so what do you make of what Stephen Hauck said about the fact, his belief that pursuing this investigation is taking time away in the state AG's offices from doing other things like investigating hospitals?
Look, I think hospital mergers are pretty important too, but it's not as if the states have no resources, especially the larger states. And I worked in the New York. I also worked in the New York AG's office. And actually, New York right now is trying to block the Sprint T-Mobile merger. So they are showing that they're capable of doing multiple cases at once. But I think their most important function is, frankly, as I said before, to serve as a check or a backstop on the federal government in case the federal government decides to go soft, which sometimes happens. And they don't have to spend a massive amount of resources being that backstop, but I think it is a very important role.
Stephen Hauck, so let's talk a little bit about the Microsoft case from a couple of decades ago that we mentioned a little earlier in the show. You were a lead trial counsel in the government lawsuit against Microsoft, but you don't seem to – I've read that you do not think that that is a comparable case to look back on for lessons on how antitrust and tech works together. Now, why?
Well, the theory here is very, very different. And Microsoft differs in a number of ways from the present investigation, in my view. As General Weiser said, there are basically two aspects to a case. One is market definition and market power. In Microsoft, Microsoft had 90% market share of the relevant market for a decade or more. And here, as you indicated at the outset, we're really looking at Google market share of maybe 38% or something like that, which is well below traditional monopoly levels. So there's problems at the initial stage. But the real key part of the case in Microsoft, and I think as Jim Tierney emphasized as well, is whether there's abuse of the power. The antitrust laws are designed to reward a company with large market share, when it has a good product that people like, it's inexpensive, it does what you want, that's a good thing. That's to be encouraged. But in Microsoft, they abused their monopoly power by using it to prevent competition. It's a very high bar to meet. They're very difficult issues of proof. And that's really the challenge here for the AGs. I don't know what they're going to find, but it is a very difficult task, especially here, since, as I understand it, you're looking at old cases. They're rehashing litigation. So they're unhappy, for example, with Google's acquisition of DoubleClick, which occurred in 2007 under a Republican FTC that allowed it to go forward. The EU allowed it to go forward. The states didn't challenge it. So what is different now? raises those kinds of questions. It's a very difficult case. They certainly have a right to investigate it, but I think it's going to be a real challenge for them.
So, Tim Wu, respond to that, that it might be hard, even with, in the case of Google, with their more than 30% control of the internet advertising market, that the question is, have they harmed? Have they actively tried to harm users, consumers, et cetera, and that might be hard to prove? What do you think?
You know, it's worth thinking about the Microsoft case and the fact that so many people at the time said, oh, these are crazy cases. They actually basically said exactly what your guest just said. No one's going to be able to prove anything. These are way too complicated. The law can't keep up with technology. I think we a very similar kind of situation. So I think there are similarities between these cases. So I don't think many people really seriously contest the idea that Google is dominant in search. You know, advertising is a different market, but in search they have a dominant position. And I think it's hard to contest the idea that Facebook's dominant in social networking advertising and social networking. So that's somewhat similar. But I also think there's more similarities, just to respond directly. You know, the Microsoft case was centered on the elimination of new competition. In that case, if anyone remembers, it was this browser, Netscape. You know, they were the hot young company. And if you look at the Facebook investigation, one of the ideas is that Facebook had all these new challengers like Instagram and WhatsApp and Snap. And one way or another has either bought them out or excluded them. So it was a very similar kind of case. And so, you know, when you get rid of the center core of the Microsoft case is a monopolist is not just allowed to exclude or get rid. I know we're going into, and I think.
Yeah, just hang on because we've got 5 seconds here before I have to get into the break. So Tim Wu and Stephen Hauck, stand by for just a moment. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are talking this hour about the recent announcement just this week that state attorneys general in 48 states and a couple of U.S. territories are banding together to investigate Google and Facebook for potential antitrust violations. And I'm joined today by Tim Wu. He's professor of law, science, and technology at Columbia Law School and author of The Curse of Bigness, Antitrust in the New Gilded Age. Stephen Hauck also joins us. He's special counsel at Offit Kerman Attorneys at Law, chief of the Antitrust Bureau of the New York State Attorney General's Office, a post he held from 1995 to 1999. And he is also now on retainer with Google, advising them on antitrust issues. Now, here's a little bit more from the state AGs yesterday. Here's Ohio's Republican Attorney General Dave Yost on NPR's Morning Edition just yesterday, explaining why they're looking into Facebook.
That's how they monetize their platform, is they sell that information to advertisers. But the integration of that from Facebook and its other platforms, when you think you're going somewhere else, you want to leave Facebook and go to what? Instagram, WhatsApp, guess what? You're still talking to Facebook.
That's the Ohio Attorney General, Dave Yost. Now, we should let you all listeners know that we reached out to both Google and Facebook for a comment, a statement, or if someone could join us from those companies. Facebook did not respond. But then when we reached out to Google, a member of their policy communications team did write back to us and said, we cannot make anyone available for the show tomorrow, but they did want to pass along their response. And they also recommended Stephen Hauk to join the show. And I'm going to just pull the curtain back here a little bit on process because it's interesting. Google said Stephen's an antitrust expert and worked on the Microsoft case, and they sent us his email. We reached out to Stephen, and as you can see, he's joining us today. And Stephen Hauk was very open and to us about his being on retainer with Google for advising on antitrust issues, not hiding it there. But it's funny that Google did not disclose that to us. And in fact, they had called Stephen in advance of us reaching out to him saying we might be headed his way. So Google not giving us full disclosure on Mr. Hauk, but Mr. Hauk, you did. So I appreciate that very much. Let's go to Scott, who's calling from St. Hippolyte, Quebec. Scott, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, basically, these are user-based platforms, right? Google and Facebook. An individual makes a personal choice to use these platforms. While these platforms do potentially, from the outlook, may have what's quote unquote a monopoly on the industry, being that, you know, if you go to search something, you always go to search on Google. But you're using that platform, so you're putting your information out there. Before you use that platform, there's a user agreement that you have to say, I agree. Now, 99.99% of the population is not going to spend the 3 hours it takes to read the fine print in that user agreement, but you have agreed to use their platform. If you've agreed to use their platform, you agree to let them use your information in any way they so choose. So,
yeah.
I mean, the idea here that the U.S. taxpayer is now going to be paying for an investigation into companies that potentially have a monopoly on the industry, I mean, it's a little bit distressing to me when there's many other problems that we can put these potential millions of dollars that are going to be going into this investigation towards.
Scott, let me ask you a question. Do you ever read those terms of service?
I have read one time a term of service, and, you know, it took me about 3.5 hours. So.
Wow. Yeah, I found one person in North America who's read terms of service. Good for you. But listen, the point is, though, you have to click I agree. Otherwise, you cannot use any of their – you cannot use their products. They just won't let you,
well,
and that's the issue.
Don't use them. I mean, yes, you said earlier that there's two billion-plus people using these platforms. Okay, yeah, there's how many billion people in the world that aren't using the platforms that are seemingly doing just fine? I mean, everybody that I know uses Facebook. I use Facebook. But, you know, it's okay to take a break from that, too. I don't need to – I don't need attorneys general to go out and make a case on something that potentially there isn't even any information yet. Everybody's banding together saying we're going to have an investigation on this. What is the investigation based on? I mean – I'm playing devil's advocate here, right?
And I really appreciate that, Scott. And you brought up some interesting points. So let me turn them back to our guest here, Tim Wu. Scott just making the basic observation that, like, where is the harm to consumers if they have the options to not use the services?
Right. So, I think the idea that you always have the choice not to do something isn't how we measure harm in this kind of area. I mean, you might say, I don't think it's quite as essential as electricity, but you could say, well, you know, you don't have to use electricity. So if the electric company charges you, $1,000 a month for electricity, that's your choice. I think it's a strange way of examining things. In terms of these cases being expensive for the taxpayer and offering no return, I actually profoundly disagree with it, because the benefits, they're a little different than you might imagine. But when you think about the case we brought in this area, historically, three cases: IBM, AT&T, Microsoft. All of these cases, even though at the time they did cost money, had an enormous stimulation of what were becoming hidebound, stagnant industries. So, IBM had their monopoly challenged. AT&T was broken up. Microsoft underwent a huge challenge. And all these led, after these cases, or even during them, with the policeman at the elbow, to an upflowing of new innovation in their industries. And some of it, take the IBM case, the software industry was a byproduct of the IBM investigation. You know, that's now a multi-trillion dollar industry. So you can't, talk about $1 million here, $1 million there, when you're talking about multi-billion, multi-trillion dollar industry fate. And the basic bet of the antitrust laws is that a competitive economy is better for the country, better for consumers, and saves and generate billions, maybe trillions of dollars. And so, you know, the sort of small questions as to whether it costs, you know, $1 million to investigate are small potatoes in the grand scheme of things.
Well, Steve Houck, did you want to respond to what Tim was saying?
So I think this is a major difference with the Microsoft case. Consumer choice is very important. That's one of the attributes that the antitrust laws try to protect. In Microsoft, the evil that Microsoft was doing was trying to make it difficult or impossible for consumers to have choice. They were sort of captive of the Windows system. And what Microsoft did that was illegal was they took various actions that had no consumer benefit but locked people into their own system. They bolted the web browser into the operating system. They entered into exclusive deals with computer manufacturers to prevent Netscape and other web browsers from being carried. And it was almost impossible to get out of that system because of the things that Microsoft did. And I don't see anything comparable with respect to Google. In fact, it's very easy. If you don't like the Google search engine, you can just download in a matter of seconds others. And in fact, I, like I'm sure a lot of consumers, have multiple search engines on my computer. I happen to like Google, so I use it a lot. But if they're not doing a good job, if they're not giving you good results and helping you find a good nurse or a good hospital or a good restaurant, you can try something else. So it's a totally different environment.
I wonder, though, if here we have a situation where the extant laws can't actually grapple with what the source of I'm going to call it monopolistic power, even if it's not technically speaking, these companies technically speaking aren't monopolies yet. And what I mean by this is that the vast amounts of data about people that these companies have control of and own and do things with, that is the source of their power. That is the reason why they have outsized they're already massive, but they have outsized influence on our lives as people and as consumers. And that is the monopolistic function of what they're doing here. And, maybe current antitrust regulation just can't reach that. I mean, isn't that a problem, Steve Howe?
Well, so, a lot of people, me included, are concerned about privacy issues and use of data. And I think one of the things you have to do is separate out those kind of issues from antitrust. And I actually think so. Some of the concerns that you mentioned are what's motivating this. But query whether they're really antitrust issues. The issues would be the same, regardless of how much market power they have. If other companies are doing the same things with their data, and they usually are. And so my view is, to the extent that's a problem, and it may well be, it should be regulated specifically and not attacked through the antitrust laws, which is using sort of the wrong weapon to get at the issue.
Okay. So, Tim Wu, what do you think about that, that antitrust might be the wrong framework here?
No, I disagree. And, I agree with your part of your premise. I think it's true that vast accumulations of data are a very big source of power. And give these companies an outside influence and an ability to defeat their competitors in ways that are new. What I disagree with is that the law can't deal with that. Antitrust law since 1890 has been about power, and it's seen various forms of power, from Standard Oil's pipelines, through Alcoa's steel mills, aluminum mills, and Microsoft's operating system. Power is power. And it takes different forms, but it's the idea that's beyond the scope of the law. I don't think that's right. I just think it needs to be recognized and understood and investigated. And the fundamental question, General Weiser teed it up well, is, has this power been abused? And, I think Steve is having trouble he's having maybe a better time with Google, but it's hard to distinguish Microsoft and Google. Microsoft and Facebook in particular. just from the case that there were competitors to Facebook, but they bought them. And so, you know, if you're buying off competitors, that is eliminating choice for consumers. People think they have a choice when they go to Instagram or WhatsApp, but they're going back to a company owned by Facebook. So that case is very much like the Microsoft case. It is illegal and, in fact, an abuse of power to buy your closest competitors.
Hmm. Well, let's go to Dave, who's calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Dave, you're on the air.
Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to make a couple of points. The first is that the Arkansas AG was at least a little bit disingenuous in the points that she was trying to make. You don't really often go to Google first to find a good doctor. You go to your HMO or your health insurance policy, and you see who they will actually allow you to see. And secondly, you would just scroll through the ads till you found the reviews. But the more important point that I'm trying to make here is that there's a very large political aspect to this. I think that the Republican Party is trying to develop some leverage toward these companies ahead of the 2020 election. Because remember that these companies have been very vocal about trying to root out Russian and foreign interference, and the message of the GOP is that there really wasn't any, or it played a very minor role in the 2016 election. So here they are. To me, it seems like they're being very vocal about it because they're trying to develop leverage.
Really? You don't think that it's possible that they might actually be genuinely interested in just exploring whether or not consumers and users are harmed by Google and Facebook in a non-political way?
I don't think that consumers are currently being harmed, at least by Google. Maybe by Facebook, but you can always choose not to use Facebook, and I know a lot of people that aren't. But I think that they put targets. I think the targets on Google and Facebook are much larger, versus, say, insulin companies or medical device companies. There are a lot of other very obvious monopolies that they could gang together and go after.
Yeah.
And instead of addressing those issues, they're going after these big, to me, political targets. Well, and that's, to me, the GOP is especially loud.
Dave, thank you so much for your call. Got lots of other comments coming here online. John Galt over on Twitter says, people don't have to use Facebook. People don't have to use Google. If you think they're using your data inappropriately, stop using them. Whereas Hammerman on our website says, it may already be too late to save our privacy or individuality from gargantuan parasite harvesters of data, but we must try. It's telling that the movement is bipartisan. These Goliaths threaten everyone. Stephen Hauck, we've just got a couple minutes left, and I want to hear quickly from both you and Tim Wu about one last thing. I mean, there have been antitrust actions brought against Google in Europe, for example. What do those cases tell us about the possibilities here in the United States?
Well, the law in Europe is very different. They have very different standards for what constitutes a monopoly. None of their decisions have been confirmed by a court over there. One of the big differences here, which I think is an important difference, is as all the AGs emphasize, they're just investigating, and you have to bring a case and prove it up before a court. So it's much easier in the EU to have a big fine paid, for example. And that's another difference. The antitrust laws here, the federal laws, don't allow for a fine. So what you're looking at in terms of remedy is, for example, if they're upset about DoubleClick, is trying to unravel that, which can be very, very difficult. So there are major differences in the law between the two places. And I should also add, by the way, in the case of DoubleClick, the EU signed off on that.
Okay. So Tim Wu, in the last minute that we have, what do you think? You don't see them as being applicable or analogous to efforts here in the United States?
I think what the European investigations and cases suggest is that there's smoke, and I think the job of the United States is to figure out whether there's fire. And one of the things I'll say, again, going back to Microsoft, is it took a while. They had to, dig into the records here and depose people and really investigate what was going on. And, the skeletons started tumbling out of the closet. I'd be very interested to see what happens when they asked for all the emails that Mark Zuckerberg sent surrounding his illegal acquisitions of WhatsApp and Instagram, what comes out when they actually read those emails. And I think we may be having a totally different conversation where everyone's like, obviously those were illegal transactions. We may find stuff that Google did in advertising that is just so blatantly obviously illegal, or the way they've been favoring their own stuff in local search, you know, kind of destroy Yelp or something, that everyone says, well, this is an easy case. Mm. We're just not there yet. And I think it's the job, when there is smoke, to find out if there is fire.
Well, Tim Wu, professor of law, science, and technology at Columbia Law School and author of The Curse of Bigness, Antitrust in the New Gilded Age. Thank you so much for joining us. And Stephen Houck, special counsel at Offutt Kerman Attorneys at Law and on retainer with Google for advising them on antitrust issues. Stephen Houck, thank you.
My pleasure also. Thanks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. ¶¶